I'm glad to be with you guys all this morning. Just in case you guys don't know who I am, Christina and I'm married to Christina Fitzgerald, but we were commended by this chapel and the Lawrence Bible Chapel in Lawrence, Kansas, about 2 years ago, to the work at Turkey Hill Ranch Bible Camp. And so this morning, what I'd like to do is kind of give you a little missionary report in the beginning, about 15 minutes or so, and then share with you some things that God's been teaching us while at Turkey Hill in the last 2 years. So let's go ahead and commit this time into the Lord's hands. Our Father in heaven, we want to give you thanks this morning, once again, for the great work of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done for us on the cross of Calvary. We thank you that because of him, we meet together this morning to remember you, and we meet together now to learn from the Word of God that you have given to us. We want to pray as we as I share with them the things that have been done at camp, the work that's gone on, that it may be an encouragement to them. I pray as we as they hear the things that you have been teaching myself and my wife, that they would be encouraged, convicted possibly, and Father, that they would go away seeing once again the great hand of God and how powerful and how wonderful and mighty it is. So we just commit this time into your hands, this time. In your name we pray. Amen. All right. Well, I have a slideshow that I'm going to share with you as we look at the things that have been going on at Turkey Hill. I imagine most of you have been there as you have had the church retreat there in the past before. But for those of you that haven't or that don't know what Turkey Hill is, let me just give you a quick brief summary of what it is. It was established around 1973. It was the mission of one man that actually purchased the land and donated it to the Turkey Hill, and from there it kind of evolved into what it is today. But the mission back then is the same that it was today. That it is today is that the gospel will go out, that people will be saved, and that those that come that know the Lord Jesus Christ would be encouraged through the fellowship and through the preaching of the Word of God. We are a camp that's open basically during the summer, around April, I guess, to November, and close down around Thanksgiving. And then the off-season, we keep busy doing maintenance and that type of stuff. But today, actually, Matt Rennes is here as well. He works at the camp. And we actually just did a staff training yesterday that some of the kids came to in preparation for the kids to come to staff at camp this summer. So what I'd like to begin with is looking at the answered prayers at camp. I want to begin with the first slide here. Or I'm sorry, I forgot that I added this in. I wanted to show you guys who all is there. This is Sonny and Debbie. That's my mom and dad, actually. They were commended about 8 years ago from Lawrence Bible Chapel. And at that time, Christina and I didn't know each other. And, well, eventually the Lord led us to be there as well. It had nothing to do with my parents being there, really, but it just kind of, it's where God led us. It was kind of neat that we ended up getting to work with my parents and be there with them. But they're there, and he's the director of the camp. And the next slide is Matthew Rennes. Nice picture with Israel in the background there. He and I just traveled there recently with some folks. But Matt's there. He's in charge of IT at the camp, or audiovisual, I guess, is what you'd call it. And the next one, we have Alan and Dolly Christensen. Alan and Dolly have been there for quite a few years. So they were there a while back and then left for a while. And then are now back there again, and they have living with them their two grandchildren, Ashley and Austin, and he's in charge of maintenance. And the next one, Jimmy and Ashley Allen, another relation to me, that's my sister. So the camp is not a family-run camp. There's a lot of family there. It just happened to be that way. But they have been there 5 or 6 years, I believe, maybe. And they have Toby, and they actually have a new son, Ivan, who was just born about a week ago. And Jimmy's in charge of the stables area. And the next one we have Steve and Karen, and Steve is the one that's been there the longest. He's been there for, I believe, around 30 years. And so he started off, he and his wife and his family, they weren't the first ones there, but they came in after another couple had been there for a while. And he's been there doing the work for a long time. And he is actually now retired, but still stays around and is helping out at the camp. And so we'll go on to the next slide now and look at how the Lord has answered prayers at camps. At camp, if we'll go on to the next one here. want to begin with how the Lord has answered prayer of health. I know that you guys have prayed for a while for my dad, Sonny Williams. He has had some serious heart problems in the past and has just struggled through a lot of issues. He's had several stents put in, several of them, and some hold up, some don't. He still has to be very careful with what he does. But he's still, we can pray for him with his heart. I worry at times for him with the stress that he has of the job. But we've had issues with different ones. Matt, I, and Jimmy are the younger men, and the rest of them are a little more mature in age. And so they have some problems that come along with that. So each one of them are Steve, Alan, and my dad have some issues that we can be praying for them and their health, and that the Lord just gives them strength day to day. Provisions. The Lord has been he's provided. I mean, if you've been down to camp, you see the place, and it's a debt-free camp today. And the Lord's been very faithful over the years in providing for that camp. Through some of you here, even, I believe the Lord has you've provided for the camp and some of the things that have gone on there. And that's been wonderful, and what a blessing it has been to see how the camp has grown. I guess I came into it right when it was built up, so I never got to see it before, experience the how it was beforehand. So it's been a blessing to be there now. But the off-season, things are a little tighter at times. And it was neat to see how God provided. I remember going into the off-season, we were praying, what will we be able to do around camp, fixing it up, doing some different things around the camp. And the Lord provided in ways that were really neat to see of how we were able to fix things up at camp. And if we go on to the next slide, you can kind of just go through these next pictures here. This is the lobby. We were actually able to do some renovations there, and I believe the work that was done there was around under $600 to do the entire work. And we can stop right there. But the lobby, it was really neat. The wood and everything to do, the fireplace was basically free. This guy has a cedar mill down the road who's a Christian, and he gave us all this wood that we were able to do some work on it. And so we had a lot of the materials provided. We did a lot of painting in the rooms and in the lobby in different places, and that paint Matt went to pick up with a horse trailer. I think it was 250 gallons, is that right? 250 gallons about of paint, completely donated free, and they were rather pretty colors. So that was a blessing. If you go on to two more slides, right there, that's the bunkhouse. It's kind of a pinkish color, not preferable color, but hey, it's there. And so we were able to do clean up the bunkhouse, paint it, and paint all the beds and put these nice railings on so the kids don't fall off. So the Lord provided all the means to do this, and it really cost us very little to accomplish all of this. And that was really neat to see how we were able to do things with little money, and how we didn't need money to do it necessarily. We just needed the materials, and God provided those. So that was neat. We put some carpet down, new carpet in the bunkhouse, which was way overdue. And that carpet was a real big blessing. It's actually the 18 by 18 carpet tiles. These are commercial ones that were very expensive. And Andy Moffitt up in Iowa, if you know him, he works at a company, and they were renovating, and they were getting rid of this, throwing it away, and he called us, and it was around 20,000 square feet of that carpet tile. And so Matt and I have learned to become carpet tile layers, and it's gone pretty well. So it looks good. And so it was neat to see how the Lord has provided for the camp in a time where we weren't sure what was going to be the course of the camp for that off season. let's go on to the next slide. That's the chapel. We were able to paint that. I think that might have been done when you guys came down. I'm not sure. I'm in the fall. The next slide. these are some prayers of how the Lord has answered prayer, or this is how the Lord has answered some prayers over the summer. And I'm sorry, before I go any further, what time is this over with?
2:00.
2:00. Well, I'll quit sooner than that. 12:15. Okay. The Lord has answered some great prayers over the summer. We see here salvation. We had around 100 or more campers profess salvation during the summer, and that's tremendous to see. A lot of these kids come from rough backgrounds. Some come from different denominational backgrounds. And so it's neat to see the Lord working. 100 kids profess salvation is wonderful. We had great staff and great head counselors last summer. Philemon, who's here, was head counselor last summer with Katie. They did a terrific job. This year we have Philemon once again, and then Melissa. We wanted Katie back as well, but, you know, she's working, and we're thankful to have Melissa. We wanted Melissa and both of them. We ended up with Melissa. Digging a hole there. So we are thankful that the Lord's provided great staff and great head counselors. And it was neat to see how the Lord answered prayers in the community. We pray almost daily for different members in the community. It's a small area. I don't even know how many people, but it's very small. You know their names. When you go into the bank, I can actually call into the bank and say, hey, can you give money to someone? They're coming by to pick it up, and they'll say, sure. So it's a very small community, but we've prayed for them, and Steve's witnessed to them for years in the community. And this year we were able to have a four-wheeler ride that came through the camp. It's something that the community does. And they came through the camp, stopped at our lake, and had a little talk on it was a benefit for an abortion, anti-abortion cause. And then Dad was able to share with them what we do at camp. And so he gave the gospel to, I think it was around 70, 80 people maybe. I was able to share the gospel with them, and then we took off with them on our four-wheelers on the ride and had some fun with them, and were able to talk with them. So that was really neat. It really gave us an in with the people in the community, and we can keep praying for that to happen. And then we obviously had answered prayer with Caleb born healthy, and more recently we had Ivan with Ashley and Jimmy born healthy as well. we can go on to the next slide, and that you might recognize that young lady. Laura Stratman. And then how you can serve. Let's go on to the next one here. You can help out by staffing. I know several of you have come down, older and younger ones, and have come down. Some of the older ones have even come down and done different things. We had two guys, Randy Pruitt and Daniel, come down and work on the vehicles at camp and do some work on them, which saved us lots of money. So that was an answer to prayer to have them come down. And we've had a variety of you come down and do different things over the time. So that's been a blessing. But come down and staff and counsel, work in the kitchen. You can help out by sending your children to us. We love to have them with us. I know you guys have done that, and we thank you. And you can help out by spreading the word, inviting other people, and then most of all by praying for us. And I want to share with you some things that you can pray for us at camp as we go into this next season, and that's going to be on the next slide here. And one more. You can pray for us for the campers, that the Lord would fill the camps this summer. It would be wonderful to have every camp full and to see these campers come under the hearing of the gospel. We pray that the Lord will send us staffers that really have a heart to serve, and a heart to lead, and a heart that wants to be united together in the same purpose, spreading the gospel and encouraging one another. And you can pray for us on full-time staff. And I have a few prayers for us on full-time staff that I would ask for you to pray for us. And the first would be that we would be a unified group of workers there. I shared this cartoon with everybody in staff training yesterday, and I think it really illustrates well what we want at camp. It's Linus and Lucy. And they're watching TV, and Lucy demands that Linus changes the TV channels. And Linus says, "What makes you think you can walk right over here and take over?" And Lucy says, "These five fingers, individually they're nothing, but when I curl them up together, they're a powerful force to behold." And Linus says, "Which channel do you want?" And turning away, he looks at his fingers and says, "Why can't you guys get organized like that?" So that would be the prayer for us at camp, is that we would be like those fingers that are curled up, a unified force with one purpose, spreading the word of God and encouraging the believers, and that everything else falls in line with that, and that we'd be a unified group of workers in the cause there at camp. Philippians 2:2, if you would turn there with me, I want to share with you a verse from there. Philippians 2 and verse 2 says, "Make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, and intent on one purpose." We see it. We are told here to have the same mind maintain the same love, united in spirit, and intent on one purpose. And if we, as a group of men working at that camp, can be intent on the purpose of spreading the word of God and encouraging believers, then we would be like that powerful force, those fingers curled up, ready to take on what comes our way. We would be united in the purpose at camp. So that would be the prayer for us. There's many other verses that talk about unity and how important it is. And if we at camp are not a united group of men, then the work is useless. It's useless. And that goes the same with our families, with churches. If we're not united, then we're not glorifying God. And so we would pray that we as men at camp would be, and women, would be united in the same purpose and united together, that we may bring glory to God. You can pray for us that we would have real guidance and real clear direction. Psalm 34:5 says, "They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces will never be ashamed." And that would be a prayer for us, that we would look to God in every decision, and that we would indeed be radiant and would not be ashamed, because we are seeking God and looking to God and making the decisions. You can pray for the board. Pray that as it changes over the time. Right now we have a wonderful board, and they're really making some great decisions. And just pray that the Lord continues to bring godly men into that board as others leave, and that they as well would be men that would have the purpose of the camp in mind. And then that the camp will always bring glory to God. Next, I'd like to talk with you, if you want to go on the next slide, and we can just kind of go to the next one and end the slideshow there. But I want to share with you how God has been working in the lives of Christina and I. We're in Philippians chapter 2. Let's look at verse 3 here. One thing that God's really been trying to teach me in my entire life, but at camp, God's really been trying to teach me an awful lot about this, is love for others. Philippians 2:3, it says, "Do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility of mind regard one another as more important than yourselves." When Christina and I lived in Lawrence, Kansas, I went through Philippians and spoke on the book of Philippians. And I remember going through this verse, and I kind of went through it quickly. And I got down, and an older gentleman came up to me and said, "You know, that's one of the most important verses in that passage that you just shared, and you went over it a little quickly." And I said, "Yeah, that's because it's so hard for me to do." That is very hard, to think of someone else as more important than yourselves. And God has really laid this on my heart while I've been at camp. To think of others as more important than me, it's hard. You think for just a little moment. Are there people in your life that are hard to think of more as more important than yourselves? You know, I don't want you to get the wrong impression, but at camp, there's six guys, and we love each other, but it's like a family. We never leave each other's presence. We're with each other during the day. We pray together. We work together. We go to church together, same church. There have been times we drive in together. It's like a family. And if you know what a family's like, I grew up in a family of six. There's some clashes at times. Well, that can be the same at camp. There can be some clashes. And if someone does something to me, it's easy for me to say, "Oh, I can't believe that person did that to me," and not want to love them, not want to care for them at that moment. But God says in Philippians 2, "With humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves." So that would be my encouragement to you guys today. If there's ones in your lives that are hard to love, we are told to think of them more highly than ourselves. There's a story that I think illustrates this well. It's a story of a soldier who was returning home from Vietnam. And he called his parents when he got into, I believe, San Francisco. He called his mom and dad. And he said, "Hey, I'm coming home, and I have a friend I'd like to bring with me." And they said, "Oh, that'd be great." And he said, "I'd like him to live with us, but there's a problem. He lost both of his legs, and he's in a wheelchair. He's handicapped." And they said, "Well, that's going to be kind of difficult. We have to totally redo the house, you know, put ramps in, and it's going to be a lot of work. We're going to have to care for him. It's going to be a little too much. It'd probably be best if we didn't take him in. We'd be happy to find him a place to live." And so that was the end of the conversation. He said, "Okay." I guess a few days later, a morgue called them up from San Francisco and said, "Hey, we believe that your son has just committed suicide, and we want you to come down and identify the body." So they come down to the morgue, and they get there, and they pull the blanket back, and they see their son, and then they see that he doesn't have legs, and the son was talking about himself as the one that had lost his legs. And I think the illustration of this story is we can at times be like those parents. It can be difficult to love some people. It can be difficult to love the ones that are a little hard on us, that maybe just rub us the wrong direction, that do things that we are not happy with. It can be hard. But you know, just like that son, it can be a matter of life or death in the decision whether we want to love or not to love. If I choose not to love my brother and sister in Christ, my relationship with God is affected. My relationship with that brother is affected. And it really could affect that brother or sister's relationship with God as well. And it could be a stumbling block. So this is something God's really been trying to teach me and Christina, that thinking of others more highly than ourselves, that's what Christ did for us, didn't he, when he was on the cross. In Colossians chapter 3, it says that Paul speaking to Colossians says, you were at enmity, or you were hostile in your minds towards Christ. And that's how we were before we were saved, sinners, worthless. But Christ thought of us more highly, didn't he? And so there we have that, of loving others more and thinking of them more highly than ourselves. The next I'd like to share with you is the Lord's been teaching me in the area of perseverance, continuing on in the work. John 16:33. I don't know about you guys. I imagine you are like me, where there are difficult days sometimes, where things just don't go right, where everything just seems to go wrong. John 16:33 says, "These things I have spoken to you, so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world." The word tribulation there means affliction or pressing together. Recently I mentioned Matt and I were in Israel with a group of people, and we went to a place that had a wine press. And this wine press is a pretty long log. It's about from the wall to here. And at the very end of it, there's a area where you stick this basket full of the grapes, and you fill it up, and you stick it in the basket, and there's a stone on top and stone on bottom with a little hole that it drains. And you stick it on there, and then there's these big, huge stones that weigh this thing down. And it takes a few people. Actually, me and another guy tried to move one, and it was pretty hard. We couldn't actually get it up. So it takes several people, these heavy stones, but there was probably four of them on this big log. And you put them all together, and it presses down on these grapes. And that's what I kind of think of with this word tribulation. In this world, you have tribulation. We will be pressed. We will be, in a sense, under that wine press ourselves at times. It will be so difficult, so hard to go on sometimes. But God gives us encouragement in this verse. He says, "I have overcome the world." You know, there have been difficult days for me and Christina at camp. I'll be honest with you guys. There have been days that I have said, my goodness, to Christina, I'd say, you know, I wish I was back in Kansas City working as a loan officer once again right now. And I did not enjoy that job. There have been days it's been hard. There have been days, honestly. But, you know, I take courage knowing that God says, I have overcome the world. Titus 2 says, "For the grace of God has appeared, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus." You know, there are times when I'm pressed or feel like a lot of tribulation coming on, and I immediately run to my wife, immediately I run to my dad, who's the director there, and I share these problems, and I just bypass God altogether. Well, we are to look to God. We are to look to Him. He's the one who's overcome. It hasn't been my wife. It hasn't been my dad. They haven't overcome this world. They aren't the ones that give us peace. It's not our family. It is God. And we need to look to Him in those times of tribulation. We need to look to Him for perseverance when things are tough and when it just seems like, I don't want to go on. I don't know if you guys have felt like that, but you know I have. But we can take hope knowing that He has overcome and that this world is going to pass by, and we will be with Him one day. So, perseverance. The next kind of goes in hand with this. And that's in the area of discouragement. You know, if maybe someone rubs me the wrong way one day, it's very easy for me and the way I am to just let the day just to be ruined. I just go on with the day, and all of a sudden I'm discouraged the rest of the day. I'm just mad, upset, and just don't want to talk to people, just want to be alone. Well, Romans 8, chapter 6, have been some verses that have been an encouragement to me in this area of my life, talking about living in the Spirit. Romans 8, verse 6 says, "For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace, because the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God. For it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God." You know, on those times when I get discouraged, when someone rubs me the wrong way, my flesh wants to say, "Oh, that idiot, what did he do that for?" Instead of being like the Spirit and saying, "I am supposed to be gentle towards them. I'm supposed to be kind towards them and loving towards them." And it's so hard to do that. I know you guys have been in that situation before, but that is what we are supposed to do. The fruit of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And, you know, I was thinking about that. When Christ was on the cross, he displayed every single one of those fruits of the Spirit. And it's kind of neat just to sit there and think about how he displayed each one and in which way. Fruit of the Spirit is love. He was doing it for his love for us. Love, joy. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. And you can just go through each one of them and see how Christ displayed them towards us. And that's how I'm supposed to be on those days of discouragement. Instead of getting upset, instead of getting having a wrong attitude towards someone, I'm supposed to have gentleness and kindness and compassion towards them. But, you know, it's hard to do that. It's hard to have the fruits of the Spirit if I'm not seeking God to begin with in that day. There's been a book that has been a real encouragement to me, and that was the book of Robert Chapman, his biography. And in it, I may be saying this wrong, but he would get up very early in the morning, and he would spend time, I think around 3 or 4 o'clock, he would get up and go walking in the morning. He'd spend time just walking and praying. And then when he would get home, he would start his day. But I think there was a portion in there where he said, even that amount of time, those hours of prayer, was not enough to prepare me for the day that was ahead. You know, that really struck me. This man knew what he had to do to prepare himself for the day ahead. He needed to have the Spirit. He needed to be full of the Spirit in that day. He needed to be prepared in his mind to face what was to come. What am I doing in my life to prepare me for the day to come? What am I doing to prepare me for when the tough time comes that day, when someone maybe rubs me the wrong direction? Am I preparing myself to say, "Hey, I love that guy, I'm supposed to be gentle towards him as Christ was towards me"? Or am I just ignoring that portion of the morning and going on with my day, hoping that I can make it through the tough times? If we as Christians want to be glorifying to God, we must live in the Spirit. We can't glorify God by living according to the flesh. And that's what these verses, Romans 8, chapter 6 says, "For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace." And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. We need to live according to the Spirit. Romans 8, verse 12. I want to share with you another little section of the flesh that has been a battle for myself and even Christina. This is kind of a neat story that I'd like to share with you guys. It really illustrates the struggle with the flesh that can be out there. Romans 8, 12 says, "So then, brethren, we are under obligation not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live." Again, we see we are to live by the Spirit. There was a man that came to speak at our conference in Jeff City. His name was Warren Henderson. And he spoke about the battle of the flesh, battle of flesh, battle of sin, and battle of Satan. And the first night, he shared a little illustration with us that was perfect for me. It really hooked me into the rest of the weekend. He was saying, you know, sometimes you can be driving down the highway at night, and there'll be someone with their brights on, and you flash them once kindly to say, "Turn your lights off," and they don't do it, so you flash them kindly twice, you know, turn them off. And they don't turn them off, and by the time they're at you, you're like, "Ugh." And you just put your lights on, and just headlights are full blare in their face, saying, "Look what I've done to you for not turning your lights off." And when he said that, Christina kind of nudged me and said, as if to say, "That's what you do." And she was right. And so it kind of caught me right off from the very beginning that I have a struggle with the flesh. So I was really kind of listening to him the rest of the weekend. And as I listened to him, there came up in my life a real struggle that I have had in the flesh. And I want to share this with you just to illustrate how the flesh can really try, how Satan can really try to attack us by getting at our flesh and try to destroy us in our ministry. Because that's what Satan was trying to do to me. And I share this illustration. It's one that God has laid on Christina in my heart. I'm not saying that it's something that you guys need to do in your lives. It's just something that God has laid on us to watch in our lives. And that area was the area of television. You see, at camp, we have long winters. And in the evenings, when we get done with work, instead of traveling 40 minutes to go into Jeff City to do something, sit at home, night drags on, maybe read a book, and then, hey, let's turn some TV on. And so we started to do this as we got there, actually, which is funny, because before we even moved to camp, we had made a decision before we got married that we weren't going to have a TV, which then my brother basically gave us this really nice TV at a very cheap price, and we were like, oh, can't pass that up. All of a sudden, TV was in our life. And so it kind of progressed. Oh, we'll just watch movies. We watched everything on TV. And we got hooked on some series that I knew someone had watched, and I was like, I will never watch those in my life. All of a sudden, we were watching them. And it was really interesting. As Warren was talking, I was like, my goodness, I have traveled from never wanting a TV to watching something I never said I would watch, or said I would never watch before. And I realized Satan is really trying to attack my flesh in this area of my life. And he also said, you know, in other areas of the world, he gave an example in China, you know, maybe TV isn't the struggle that Satan tries to throw at a Christian, but maybe the struggle with the spiritual realm. And he mentioned a story about how a guy was demon-possessed and how that was a tool that Satan was using at that time to destroy this guy. But he said in the United States, it could be something totally different. And I don't even think he mentioned the area of television, but I knew that's what he was saying was my struggle. I knew that's what God was telling me. And so I was thinking the entire time through this message, Micah, you have an issue with television that you need to deal with because this is destroying your ministry for God. And so I came under conviction, and I went up to Warren afterwards, and I said, hey, brother, you know, as you do with the preachers, thanks a lot. I was convicted and encouraged by your message. And he's like, good, tell someone of your convictions. And during his message, I was thinking, well, I'm not going to tell my wife because then she's going to be like, well, we've got to get rid of the TV or something. And then we've got to get rid of the Wii, which I had just got for my birthday. And then we can't play Wii with the people on staff when they come over. What are we going to do? And so I was thinking this the entire time. And then right then when I told him that, he said, well, tell your wife. I was like, oh, God is not speaking to me right now. So I thought about it. Actually, right after he said that, I was like, there's no way I'm telling my wife. But we were driving home, and I remember sitting in the car, 40-minute drive. You have to talk about something. I was sitting in the car. I was like, I really need to tell Christina. Because as I was driving home, it was as if God was telling me, Micah, I convicted you of this area in your life since you were a little kid. Because I remember when I was 12, 14 years old, my family would go watch TV, and I'd be like, I'm going to go do something else, because I didn't want to watch TV at that time. And I just felt that wasn't right for me to do. And God's convicted of me over my years so many times that at this point in my life, it was as if he was saying, this is it. This is the last time I'm telling you of this. If you don't deal with it now, then it's going to be an area in your life that's going to be a struggle for you always. And I don't know if that's really how God works or not, but that's what it felt like to me. And so I decided I need to tell Christina about this. So I told her, and then she confessed, wow, that's going to be hard for me as well. And so we prayed about it a long time and decided to make some changes in how we handled that. And so we decided just two movies a week is it that we get to watch, which is a big change for us. And you know, it's really interesting how with this change in our lives, how it's freed us up to spend more time reading, talking, spending time with our son, doing things that are more productive, just as a family, but also spiritually. We spend more time reading books that wouldn't have otherwise. And it's neat to see how not only that, but God has really changed my desire to know God, to seek him, to pray, has really increased. And it's almost as if he says, like he says in 1 Samuel, I believe, he who honors me, I will honor. And I made a decision that I've got to act on this. And that's what we need to do with the battle of the flesh. I don't know if you guys have areas that in your lives, maybe even now you might be convicted of. I don't know. Maybe in the past you've been convicted of. But as a testimony of what God can do, don't let those convictions pass you by. Deal with them. Don't let them go on. Don't continue to be convicted. Bring them before God. Bring them to another brother or sister or a spouse or whoever you need to, that you can deal with that problem of the flesh. The flesh will destroy us. The last thing I want to end with is how God has been faithful to us. Philippians 4. As you can see, Philippians is probably my favorite book in the Bible. I really love it. Philippians chapter 4. In verse 18, says, "But I have received everything in full, and have an abundance. I am amply supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you have sent, a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well pleasing to God. And my God will supply all your needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus." All my life, I've seen God do amazing things in meeting my needs. And I'm not speaking financially right here at this point. God has been very faithful to us. And I remember when we first decided that we were going to go to camp, we talked to the elders at our church, and we said, and the board members actually at camp, and we said, we don't want to be commended, and we don't want to go to camp until we pay our debt off. And I want to share with you guys the numbers, because I think it's really neat testimony of how God provided. We had probably about, with two cars and a little student loans, we had about $22,000 of debt. And we had been approved to come to camp under the condition that debt was paid off, as we had asked them. And they wanted us there like in 4 or 5 months, I think. maybe it was 6 months, I don't remember. But right at that time, I had received a new job that my brother had gotten me at a bank as a loan consultant. And he had done really well there, and he said, you know, you can make good money here. So I went over, and it was neat to see. It was right at the time when there was like no loans being made for homes. The rates were sky high. It was neat to see how the guys around me who had been in this business for years weren't making loans, and how God was laying in my lap people that the loans went through. And the Lord was able to provide a good amount of money that paid off a good portion of that debt. And it was really neat to see. I knew it was God, because there was no way. I'm not a good salesman. I'm not a good speaker. And yet God was allowing these things to happen, these loans to take place and to go through. And then we were able to pay off the rest of that through selling of a car that we were able to sell at a good price. And all that debt was paid off within about 2 or 3 months. And we were able to be accepted at Turkey Hill Ranch Bible Camp. It was so neat to see how God did something that I thought was impossible. I didn't think we were able to sell this car as much as we did. I didn't think we were able to have this other amount come in through the work that I had. But God provided the money. Another neat thing that God did was we have insurance through you guys, which we have been very thankful for. And we thank you for that. But we had just started the insurance, and right at that time is when Christina got pregnant. And she went to the hospital, and the doctor said, well, there's a heart murmur that we need to get checked out just in case there are some issues. So we went to a heart doctor, and she told the doctor, well, you know, it's something I've had a few years past. It's come up. And because she said those words, I've had it in the past, the insurance denied paying for it. And it was like, I think about $5,000, which is a lot of money for anybody. And we were like, how are we going to pay for this? So we sent it in to have them look it over again, and they came back and said, denied, you're not going to get this turned over. And I was like, oh my, what are we going to do? So we then called and said, is there anything that we can do? And they said, well, send it in again. You can send it in another time after that if you need to. And so we rewrote the letter of the appeal, and we sealed it, put it in an envelope, and we decided that we were going to pray over that envelope and send it off in the mail. So we did, and we sent it off, and within a few weeks, which was supposed to take 30 days, within a few weeks it came back and said overturned, and that they were going to pay for it in full. And it was so neat to see how God answered a specific prayer of ours in providing and meeting our needs. And I just want to be a testimony to that of today, that God is faithful. God is faithful not in just financial areas, but God is faithful in our needs spiritually. He will meet every one of our needs. He loves us, He cares for us, and He wants to meet those needs, but we need to seek Him. And that's what we didn't do at first with that insurance bill. We didn't pray about it. We sent it off. We prayed about it every once in a while. But this second time, we prayed about it, sent it off, and continued to pray about it. And we were seeking God, and he met that need. And it was neat to see, an example to me. So God is faithful. So these are some of the things that God has taught us in the work at camp. And again, thank you for this time being with you guys. And thank you guys so much for your prayers and support of us at the camp. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we give you thanks for your love. We thank you that you're a God that meets our needs. You're a God that loves us and cares for us, that meets our needs spiritually, that desires to have a relationship, intimate relationship with us. We thank you that you convict us of areas in our life that need to change, that we can be closer to you and know you more intimately. Father, we thank you for your great love towards us. Father, we thank you for the work at camp, and we pray that you would continue to bless that work there. And Father, thank you for the assembly here in Fenton, and we just pray, Lord, that you would continue to bless the believers here, continue to build them up, and continue to build them up in yourself and in their love for one another and love for others. And we just pray these things in your name. Amen.